Hello, this is Chris with the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, January 20th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. It's all about experience. Brides, grooms, heralded at Elegant Wedding Expo in Bloomington. Several bunches of brides, grooms, and their cohorts on Sunday flocked to the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Conference Center in Bloomington to plan their big day. The Elegant Wedding Expo returned to the DoubleTree with 70 exhibitors offering planning services, formal wear, venue rentals, entertainment, catering, photography, and more. Ashley Peacher, owner of the Elegant Wedding Expo, said she's organized 85 Wedding Expo events since 2012. She said the wedding business is booming in 2025, and so couples are trying to book far in advance. Peacher said October is still a very popular month for weddings, and she expected many brides attending Sunday are planning to be wed that month. It's all about experience, said Peacher of Current Wedding Trends. She said they have photo booths because brides want to enjoy the moment. She said there are stations for getting temporary tattoos or having a professional ring photo taken. Late night eats are also gaining traction in wedding trends. Instead of just serving the typical cake slices, Peacher said weddings could also have a nacho bar or a coffee bar, while noting that at least two mobile coffee stations were present on Sunday. Peacher said 300 brides registered for the expo and she expected around 250 to attend. At the expo, she said brides were offered discounts from vendors and up to $8,000 in door prizes were slated to be awarded throughout Sunday. One future bride attending was Destiny Cohen, 31, who plans to tie the knot April 5th with Les Vincent, 35. Cohen of Lincoln said the most interesting service she found at the expo was a caricature by Joe the Art Guy. She said the caricature that was drawn of her and Vincent turned out really good, and they booked him for the wedding. Cohen said she's also planning a memory table for all of their loved ones that can't be there. It's going to be super special for us, she said. Sounding off near the entrance of the conference center was a Bloomington-based stringed quartet, which plays as heart strings music. Owner Stephanie Kitzinger, who also performs violin with the group, said they perform traditional and classical music at weddings as a string quartet, a violin duo, or as a violin-piano duo. Popular music at weddings, she said, includes Johann Paschal's Canon, Bridal Chorus by Richard Wagner, and Trumpet Voluntary, but heartstrings will also consider requests for modern music. In recent years, Kitzinger said they've seen a trend leaning toward more modern music at weddings. The expo included at least one newly opened business. Chris Lauer, 55, said she recently moved from Springfield to Bloomington to be with her fiancé, who is a teacher and coach. And 1 month ago, she said she got her LLC for her business, Pop Off Balloon Creations. She's not the only one getting married. Lauer said her two daughters are getting married, too. Lauer said she's prepared balloon arches for past school sporting events and did some side work before she was encouraged to go into business. Her first official client will be for a wedding shower next week. As a traveling representative for a pharmaceutical company, Lauer said her job is stressful, and she likes to work on balloon creations while watching football games or other sports. I just really like to create things, she said, while adding she feels like her work on a creation is never done. Lauer said her rates start at $12 per foot, or $16 with add-on decorations like flowers or pearls. I couldn't ask for a better way to do not only meet new people, but also network, she said of the expo. At least two businesses attending Sunday's expo were mother-daughter-owned operations. One was Ruth's Garden Tea Room and the Garden Chapel. Co-owner Heather Brown, 50 of Normal, said their tea room, wedding chapel, and special events business is named after her late grandmother, who cooked a Sunday family meal each week until she died at age 92. I learned to cook from her, Brown said. She said they bought the Garden Chapel in 2017 and then opened up the nearby Ruth's Garden Tea Room in 2018. Brown said the church, located at 98 North Cherry Street in El Paso, was built in 1896 and the tea room is newer construction. Brown noted that the tea room and chapel can also be rented for bridal showers or other parties. She also said the expo turnout was great. Another mother-daughter business exhibiting Sunday was Fox's Elements of Style of Champagne. Co-owner Kayla Fox said they prepared Southern food, but were also able to adapt to whatever your palate is. She said they've been doing formal catering for about 3 years and offer decorations and coordination, too. At the expo, Fox said they offered samples of smoked chicken, shrimp, and crab dip, and baked macaroni and cheese, which is one of their favorites. Fox said brides are trending to take on more classic and vintage decorations for their weddings, as well as rustic boho, too. We're also noticing a lot of brides wanting to DIY, and so we're willing and able to work with brides to fulfill their vision and allow them to do their thing. Dangerous cold takes hold in central Illinois. Dangerous cold and biting wind chills are expected across central Illinois in the early part of this week, according to the National Weather Service at Lincoln. Widespread Arctic air will result in high temperatures only in the single digits and teens the next few days, with many areas dropping below zero at night. The Weather Service cautioned that frigid wind chills as low as 20 degrees below zero could cause frostbite on exposed skin after just half an hour. Residents are urged to use caution while traveling outside and wear appropriate clothing, including hat and gloves. A cold weather advisory was issued from 6 p.m. Sunday through noon Monday for the following counties: Champaign, Christian, Clark, Clay, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Jasper, Lawrence, Logan, Macon, Mason, McLean, Menard, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, Sangamon, Shelby, Tazewell, Vermilion, and Woodford. The warnings come as an area from the Rockies into the Northern Plains was expected to see colder than normal temperatures starting Sunday into the coming week, with temperatures dropping to minus 30 degrees to minus 55 on Sunday and Monday. Wind chills of minus 40 were already being measured in parts of North Dakota and Minnesota. Sub-zero wind chills are forecast to reach as far south as Oklahoma and the Tennessee Valley. As happened earlier this month, this latest cold snap comes from a disruption in the polar vortex, the ring of cold air usually trapped around the North Pole. And for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, national holiday was years in the making. Struggle to honor civil rights icon after his death in 1968 pays off in 1983. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. gave his iconic I Have a Dream speech in 1963 on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He chose that location in part to honor President Abraham Lincoln as a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today. Now, millions of people honor King in the same way. On the third Monday in January, close to King's January 15th birthday, federal, state, and local governments, institutions, and various industries recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day. For some, the holiday is just that, time off from work or school. But King's family and others carrying on his legacy of equality, justice, and nonviolent protest want Americans to remember that this holiday is really about helping others. While it is now a time-honored tradition, the establishment of the holiday had a prolonged, difficult path to acceptance. The idea to establish a national holiday for the civil rights icon arose as the nation was plunged into grief. U.S. Democratic Representative John Conyers of Michigan, one of the longest-serving members of Congress, known for his liberal stance on civil rights, proposed legislation to recognize King 4 days after his assassination outside a motel in Memphis, Tennessee, on April 4, 1968. Supporters knew it would not be easy. King, who was 39 years old at the time, was a polarizing figure to half the country even before his death, said Lerone Martin, director of the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute at Stanford University. Polls conducted by the Washington Post and the New York Times indicated most Americans did not trust King or thought he was too radical because of his speeches on poverty, housing, and against the Vietnam War. People say that King is moving too fast after 1965, and basically, hey, you got the voting rights bill done, that's enough, Martin said. The Congressional Black Caucus, founded by Conyers, tried to bring the legislation up for a vote for the next 15 years. Among the Republican rebuttals, public holidays don't apply to private citizens. King was a communist, or King was a womanizer. In the meantime, his widow, Coretta Scott King, kept lobbying for it. Musician Stevie Wonder even released a song, Happy Birthday, to rally support. So what changed? By the 1980s, the social and cultural climate in the U.S. had shifted and the public was reflecting on racial progress. Most Americans now were also regretting the Vietnam War. Supporters, meanwhile, were still calling for federal holiday status. In 1983, about 20 years after King's I Have a Dream speech, legislation for a Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the third Monday of January cleared Congress, and President Reagan signed it. But Reagan's signing did not lead other Republicans to follow. It would be 17 more years until all 50 states observed it. Most of the foot-dragging came from the South, except for Arizona. Then, in 1987, Governor Evan Meacham rescinded his predecessor's executive order reenacting a state holiday in Arizona. He said, "Black people don't need a holiday. Y'all need jobs," recalled Dr. Warren Stewart, senior pastor at First Institutional Baptist Church in Phoenix. That started the war. Stewart launched a group to lead the people of all colors and all persuasions, faiths, and parties in protest marches. Entertainers, including Wonder, canceled Arizona events. Companies moved conventions. The tipping point was the loss of hosting the Super Bowl. In 1992, Arizona became the first state where a voter initiative reinstated the King holiday. Supporters took a victory lap the next MLK Day with a packed arena concert attended by Wonder and other artists. Even Rosa Parks was there. Stewart remembers speaking to the crowd. "What I said there, and it still applies today, we've won the holiday, but the holiday is a symbol of liberty and justice for all, and we must move from symbol to substance." South Carolina was the final holdout until the year 2000. But it was without the backing of the civil rights groups because it also allowed for a Confederate Memorial Day. Martin Luther King Jr. Day's reach has only grown in its 42 years. It's the only federal holiday where you take a day on, not a day off. In 1994, President Clinton signed into law Congressman John Lewis and Senator Harris Wolford's legislation, making it a national day of service. Bloomington Normal mayor candidates speak at Saturday Forum. From Bloomington, candidates for the mayors of the Twin Cities attended a forum Saturday, organized by the McLean County Republican Party at Freedom Baptist Church in Bloomington. Five candidates spoke, two for the town of Normal and three for the city of Bloomington, with Bloomington Mayor Moka Mwambi the only incumbent in attendance. Normal Mayor Chris Coos was the only candidate who was absent as he was traveling in Washington, D.C. Mayoral candidates present for the town of Normal were current town council members Kathleen Lorenz and Chamberlain Harris. Besides Mwambi, Bloomington City Council member Cody Hendricks and former State Representative Dan Brady also made their case for election, which will take place April 1st. While the candidate forum was a nonpartisan event, the church displayed Dan Brady for mayor signs at the entrance to the parking lot and building. Each candidate gave their vision for the town and the city and their motivation for running before answering submitted questions from the crowd. Overall, two themes appeared on each candidate's list of priorities: housing and economic development. Candidates for the town spoke first, followed by the three Bloomington candidates. The following are excerpts from their remarks in no particular order. Chamberlain Harris. Harris has a broad scope of experience working with government partners at local, state, and federal levels. In Illinois, she has worked to lobby our state legislators to make sure that we are not impacted by unfunded mandates and regulations that impact us long term. A council member since 2017, whose term ends this year, Harris laid out her vision with an acronym THRIVE: technology, housing, reimagining cultural diversity, intentional community engagement, vibrant community development, and economic development. On housing access, Harris said, part of what we've been trying to do is expand the infrastructure bill to include housing. And we want to continue that because it'll be helpful to ensure housing for the future. She called developing the town's economy our crown jewel. Economic development, that is where we become who we are. And that, the core of it all, economic development is important. One question posed to all candidates is, as if they would support eliminating the city manager's position for a strong mayor form of government, something Harris and most other candidates opposed. That form of government consolidates too much power in one seat. A strong mayor is literally that, the one person who makes all the decisions. They finalize the budget alone, they make all the decisions, and then, to me, you kind of lose the voice of a city council, which represents the interests of different parts of a city's constituency. Kathleen Lorenz. Lorenz was first elected to the Normal Town Council in 2015. Her current term is set to expire in 2027. It's time for fresh leadership, she said. We have been led by a very capable mayor. You might like him a lot. You might like him a little, but nevertheless, he has served faithfully for 22 years. Lorenz has worked with local homeless shelters like Home Sweet Home Ministries, giving her insight to the housing crisis in Bloomington Normal. While she noted her record of fiscal responsibility, Lorenz said there could be a way to use tax dollars to combat homelessness. We need to unlock the shared sales tax dollars that are flowing from Bloomington and Normal to the county, unlock that, leverage that to fix that problem. Bloomington Normal is losing a lot of tax revenue and economic growth because a large number of high-wage earning employees live outside the Twin Cities. We are woefully behind on keeping up with the workforce housing. We have 45% of the workforce from our major employers in Rivian and Ferraro leaving this community to go live somewhere else. That's a leakage that I'm just not satisfied with. Mocha Mwambi. Mwambi, the only incumbent in attendance, spoke last. After serving on the Bloomington City Council for several years, Mwambi was elected mayor in 2021. He laid forth a list of projects and accomplishments from his first term as mayor, including a planned downtown streetscape, the revival of Gossinger Motors Arena, including the arrival of the Bloomington Bison ECHL hockey team, the renovated Bloomington Public Library, and the rebuilt O'Neill Aquatic Center. He tied economic growth and housing together, noting, like Lorenz, that a large population of Rivian and Ferraro employees live outside the Twin Cities and McLean County. With economic growth, housing is a big part of it. As you heard earlier, there's quite a bit of leakage because of employees who are living elsewhere and spending their dollars elsewhere. So we need to bring those things back in, and I think housing is key to that. Dan Brady. Brady, who most recently held elected office in the Illinois House of Representatives from 2001 to 2023, said his first priority is public safety. If you don't have a safe community, people are not going to want to come and live here. A lifelong resident of Bloomington, Brady said he supports the downtown streetscape, but wants to ensure that the city's budget, $331 million for fiscal year 2025 is spent responsibly. How we prioritize that spending needs to be the focus and the future of Bloomington. Brady's focus on infrastructure involves roadways, sewer lines, bridges, and pedestrian ways. His lengthy experience in state politics will help him secure funding for those projects as needed. As mayor, I'll be the best cheerleader Bloomington has. I'm homegrown, I'm experienced, I know the city and its people, and the people know me. Brady was the only candidate who did not outright disagree with the strong mayor question, instead saying the issue is for the voters to decide. And finally, Cody Hendricks. Hendricks, a history and civics teacher at Olympia High School, was first elected to Bloomington City Council in 2023. I've always had a passion for local government and the impact that it can do, and it's what led me to run for city council. Like Lorenz, Hendricks said Bloomington is in need of fresh leadership. A key focus for Hendricks is housing affordability. That's from property taxes that aren't affordable because we have a shortage of housing in the community, but it's also the rental rates. It's the unhoused population who can't find access to home. When needed infrastructure upgrades, Hendricks said he will collaborate with our state partners, our federal partners, to try to get grant dollars to be able to defer some of those costs. Hendricks said public service is about community before self. Running for office is, again, listening to people and trying to make my community proud and being an advocate for the city of Bloomington. And from the gardening page, North Pole takes honors in 2025. Now that Christmas and New Year's are over, it is time to have a little talk about the North Pole. No, I'm not referring to the home place of St. Nick, but North Pole Arborvitae, proven winner's landscape shrub of the year for 2025. While indeed it may correctly be classified as a shrub, many of you may think of it as a tree. North Pole Arborvitae is known botanically as Thunja oxidellus and commonly called American arborvitae and Eastern white cedar and tree of life. While some Thunja have been known to create a feeling of fear and trepidation, this can usually be associated with the wrong application in the landscape. The North Pole, however, is most worthy of the honor it's received. Thunja oxidellus is native to 23 states and part of Canada. In its native range, it was called the Tree of Life. When explorers learned from Native Americans how to use the leaves to treat scurvy, it is doubtful you will be called upon to use the foliage for medicinal purposes, but the aesthetics in the landscape is another thing. The North Pole is considered not only beautiful, but mild-mannered. You will treasure it for years. You may be thinking you don't have room for a carnivore in your landscape. When you consider a height of 10 to 15 feet and a 5-foot width, an exquisite Christmas tree shape comes to mind. Almost everyone has room for such a beautiful shrub. Even at that, you can consider doing what the garden guy does and grow in a container on the outward corners of the patio. This will be my fourth growing season in Zone 8B, West Georgia. As fall planting season comes around in October, I will plan to incorporate these into prime locations in the front landscape. I've been building a small conifer collection with different colors and shapes. There are blue ground cover shrub junipers called Montana Moss, golden western arborvitae named Fluffy, golden Camaris or false cypress, and blue-green dwarf Crimeria. The North Pole arborvitae will fit just perfectly in height and color, sunlight and fertile, well-drained soil, and you can be in business too. Those on the patio have been pure joy. First, they are planted in ceramic glazed self-watering aquapots. This has made watering and feeding a breeze. The hidden plastic tube is easy for insertion of a water hose for filling up the reservoir, as well as adding a scoop of water-soluble fertilizer. Of course, each pot is filled with high-grade potting soil. The containers have not only the North Pole arborvitae, but also colorful flowers like Superbena Violet Ice Verbena and Superbell's Double Redstone Calabresas, a group I mix containers of Supertunia, begonias, and ornamental grasses like Queen Tut of the North Pole Planter. The dark evergreen needle-like leaves are the perfect backdrop for the colorful flowers and the foliage of different textures. Those of you looking for the perfect living Christmas tree at your entryway should put the North Pole arborvitae at the top of your list. In year one, mine were about 4 feet tall, and now, starting year four, they are approximately 7 feet in height. You can't beat the value considering your Christmas tree will not only live for years, but get bigger and better with each holiday season. Planting season is just around the corner, so start sourcing your North Pole arborvitaes. Everyone can use the bones and evergreen structure. They provide the landscape, whether in containers or planted in the ground. 70 million under storm warning. Some will get major snowfall, while others can expect frigid temperatures from Boston. Tens of millions of residents along the East Coast brace for several inches of snow Sunday, followed by dangerously cold temperatures that will grip much of the country from the northern plains to the tip of Maine. Winter storm warnings issued by the National Weather Service have already gone into effect for parts of the mid-Atlantic through Monday morning, with the forecast projected up to a half foot of snow. Warnings began in New England on Sunday afternoon, with parts of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, and Connecticut seeing as much as 10 inches of snow. Mark Chouinard, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in College Park, Maryland, projected that as many as 70 million residents will be under some kind of winter storm warning in the coming days, including in New England and the Mid-Atlantic. Large cities such as Philadelphia, New York, and Boston could see several inches of snow. There will certainly be some more hazardous road conditions anywhere from D.C. up the whole I-95 corridor and then inland from there later today and tonight. Then it gets quite cold behind that. By Monday morning, any roads that haven't been treated or cleared will still likely be some hazardous travel conditions. The snowfall was disrupting airline flights along the eastern seaboard. Nearly 130 flights at New York City area airports were canceled, and nearly 90 others were delayed, according to the FlightAware flight tracking service. In New York City, Mayor Eric Adams urged city residents to take the subway and buses if they have to travel during the storm, making the task easier for crews to clear the streets. He said people who need help with heating or frozen pipes can call 311, and he asked residents to check on their neighbors during the frigid weather. Cold temperatures, high winds tomorrow could be dangerous. We have to be here for each other and make sure our pets and other parts of New York are safe. The Weather Service said there will be a chance of snow showers Sunday afternoon and evening in western New York State, with heavier lake effect snow expected in that part of the state Monday through Wednesday morning, with 2 to 3 feet possible in some areas. But the snow is just part of the chaotic weather week of weather. An area from the Rockies into the northern plains will see colder than normal temperatures over several days, with temperatures dropping to minus 30 degrees to minus 55 on Monday. Wind chills of minus 40 were already recorded in parts of North Dakota and Minnesota. Sub-zero wind chills were forecast to reach as far south as Oklahoma and the Tennessee Valley. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, January 20th. Please stay tuned.